Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the debut of the Liberty Bell Hour here on Blog Talk Radio, where we are always letting freedom ring. I am your host, Daria DiGiovanni, and I want to thank you all for joining me this evening. I've got some friends out here in the chat room, and I really appreciate them logging into the show tonight. And just to catch everyone up, because I know people who've listened to the Liberty Bell Hour before are used to seeing me on WAFS-TV, where I hosted the show from January of this year. I believe we started on January 7th through the month of June, and that was just an awesome, wonderful experience. And I was really sad when John Sotolaire, who was the owner of the studio, had to shut down operations. It just financially just was no longer feasible. And it was a shame because we had some really wonderful hosts, and it was a great setup, and John did an outstanding job with the technology and with producing the show, and it made it easy for me because all I had to do was kind of show up and talk and, you know, and book my guests and just have a great time. So I hope you'll bear with me here on Blog Talk Radio, where it's a little bit different. You're required to multitask a little bit here, and so I'm doing my best to sort of manage the chat room, manage my switchboard, and host the show. So I guess my co-host, Steve, from Conservative Republican Forum, who's out there listening, will let me know how I did tonight later on. Steve, thanks for listening. Just want to give you a little shout out. My show with Steve runs every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio at 6 p.m. Eastern, and we have a great time. We interview a lot of fascinating guests. I mean, we've had such prominent people as Michelle Malkin and Greg Gutfeld to grassroots candidates from all across the country, and it's just been we just celebrated our one-year anniversary, and it's just been a great experience. So thank you, Steve, for inviting me along on that adventure. It's been great, and looking forward to this Saturday with you again here on Blog Talk Radio. And one other, I want to give a shout-out to another Blog Talk Radio host, another good friend of mine, Diane Student of Freedom's Wings. Now, her show runs on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesday and Thursday nights, actually overlaps with my show right now. But I discovered with Blog Talk, when you're not a, you know, I haven't been a host. Technically, I've not been a host until now, until I transferred Liberty Bell Hour here. So I was not allotted any of the primetime slots. So I think until I build up my listener base here, I will have to stick with the 6 p.m. Thursday night time slot. But I'm hoping that as time goes on, you guys will enjoy listening to me so much that I will be offered maybe a 7 p.m. or an 8 p.m. slot so that I can actually listen to Freedom's Wings before coming over here to host my show. And Diane was actually a guest with Steve and me not too long ago, and I'm hoping to bring her on Liberty Bell here on BTR again because she's wonderful, and she always puts on a great show. So, again, thank you for joining me this evening. I just wanted to also, for those who don't know me, just sort of a brief recap. You can find out all about me on my blog, which is dariaann.wordpress.com. And I think I've put the link in the chat room. And I, you know, invite you all to kind of check that out. But just to sort of give you sort of a brief recap of me, I was born in Philadelphia and raised in a nearby suburb of called Media in Delaware County. So hence the name of my show, The Liberty Bell Hour. I have been living in South Florida now for, wow, going on 16 years. So it's been a great experience living here, but I am still a Philly sports fan and still have my allegiance to those teams, and I'm very psyched right now that the Phillies so far have won two games out of a series of three with the Marlins. We're playing them this evening, and unfortunately hadn't been able to go to any of the games this week. But so you can take the girl out of Philly. I guess you can't completely take Philly out of the girl, and anyone who knows my family and knows what a passionate sports family I grew up in will completely understand that. I grew up going to Eagles games. You know, my family had season tickets, and going to the Phillies games, and, you know, and going to the airport to greet the 76ers when they won. And, you know, so it's a lot of fun. And I'm actually looking forward to talking about all those things with my guest this evening. He is a host on WIP AM Philly Sports Radio. His name is Steve Trevolisi, and I hope that I pronounced his name right, and hope he can correct me when I bring him on. But he's kind of a fascinating guy because he's a Giants fan from North Jersey, and I really need to ask him how it came to be that a Giants fan ended up on Philly Sports Radio. But I'm sure he has a lot of fun ribbing his colleagues about the fact that the Eagles have yet to win a Super Bowl. unlike the Giants. But I'm hoping maybe we'll bond over a shared dislike of the Dallas Cowboys. So we'll see. But Steve is an interesting guy. In addition to being a host on WIP, he's also a comedian, and he's got a lot of great experience. He's done a lot of interesting things, and you can check all of that out at his website, which is stevetrevolisi.com, and I've posted that link in the chat room. But what I would like to do right now, with no further ado, and hopefully the technology will cooperate with me, is bring Steve on so he can tell you all about himself. So let me bring him on there. Hey, Steve, are you online with us?
The technology never cooperates. You should know better, Daria.
Well, hey, it's cooperating tonight. I got you on the line. How
well,
are you?
That. I'm good. You sound great. Is this your first show?
Thank you. Well, it's my first show on Blog Talk Radio as the Liberty Bell Hour. I was previously on a WAFS for 6 months. And
oh, I thought you had some kind of a pornographic past or something. My first show on this hour.
That's funny. Anybody who knows me would know how funny. Probably laughing out loud right now.
Well, in this lifetime, in this identity, yeah, it's a Liberty Bell Hour.
So, but Steve, thanks for joining my little blog talk show. I really appreciate it. I'm so excited that you were able to be here tonight.
Oh, me too. I was excited. I was able to get through on the phone. You know, this isn't easy to get through this show. You got a big following. You got lots of callers, and you're a Philadelphia sports fan.
Yep.
Smart move getting out of town.
Well, like I said, you know, I got out of town, and I really love South Florida, but never quite got the Philly love of Philly sports teams out of my heart, which could be a good or bad thing. You know, they break our hearts. Well, Philly sports teams break Philly sports fans' hearts a lot.
You know what Robert Klein said about South Florida, right?
What?
Robert Klein says, you know, I sent two perfectly good parents to Florida, and 30 years later, they're dead. Must be something wrong down there. What's going on down there? There's something going on. So now, do you watch the games on satellite, or do you read the papers or the Internet? Because today, you don't really have to be in town to follow the teams. It's never been easier.
I know. It's great. I mean, really, the Internet has been wonderful. I go, there's a great Philly sports bar right around the corner from me in Deerfield Beach called CJ's Draft House.
Uh-huh.
And I typically will go to the games there, have fun with that, or I'll go and hang out with some friends. And my one friend has the NFL ticket, and I'll go over there and hang out and watch the games there. I love going to the sports bars. The only problem is, you know, they have every game on at the same time, so everyone's
that's too much overload.
Yeah, exactly. So you can't really you can see your team, but you really can't hear the sound. And I'll tell you what, as a Philly sports fan, one thing I do miss is Merrill Reif. Like, you know, just listening to him.
Funny you should mention Merrill. Merrill just wrote a book, and you've got to get the book, MerrillReif.com. It's called How to Turn Your Profession into where is it? You know what? I should know this. It's How to Turn Your Passion into a Profession. It's called sportscasting. So anyone that wants to become a sportscaster and wants to learn from the best, it's all about breaking down how to be a sportscaster. And Merrill is the best football radio play-by-play guy in the world.
Oh, he's great. He's fabulous.
Yeah, and he's going to be on my radio. He's going to be on my WIP show tonight.
Oh, excellent. I'll have to tune in for sure.
Talking about the Eagles. Tonight's flight night. Tonight's where all the Eagle fans gather at the stadium and they watch the team run through a practice. Ain't that exciting?
That's cool. I think it's exciting. I wish I could be there for that.
And then later they all go in the parking lot and they gather around the car and they watch the paint dry. It's fascinating.
I'll tell you what. I have to tell you a little story. It's funny because, you know, they are pretty rough and tumble. I mean, my family is normal and, you know, we're passionate fans, but we pretty much, you know, some of those fans just get really carried away. And
do you realize
my dad,
this year we have the – so far this year, we're not even like, what, a month and a half into the Philly season, like 3 months now. We've already had a kid puking on a cop's daughter. Right. We also had another kid runs out on the field and he gets tasered. And then the coup de grace was the following night when another guy runs out on the field only to get pulled in by the cops and they find on him a bag of pot.
Oh, my God.
Think about this. If you got pot on you, why would you run? This could if I run on the field, this could draw the police. They may search me. Not the best idea. He must have been smoking the pot before he jumped onto the field, I'm guessing.
Apparently so.
You think? And not only that, but think about this. If he was smoking the pot when he jumped out on the field, think of how much easier it must have been for the cops to catch him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, some of these Philly fans aren't the brightest of bulbs, unfortunately.
Absolutely not.
I will admit to that. And you know what's so, and here's kind of something that's funny. Like I said, I mean, my family, pretty normal. I would say most of the fans are okay, but it's ones like that give us a bad name. But in 2003, my dad and my three brothers flew down here when the Eagles played the Miami Dolphins on Monday Night Football. And I have to tell you, my father was just so appalled. My dad's a pretty straight-laced guy. He's a fun-loving guy, but he's pretty much, you know, he's an upstanding citizen, you know, and the moment they boarded the plane at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and of course the plane was all Eagles fans, I mean, everyone around him was drunk. So that didn't start things off too well.
That's Eagles fans.
And this guy kept ribbing them, and my dad was, you know, I'm sure my father was making the best of it. But the hotel they were staying at down in Fort Lauderdale, I can't even remember what hotel it was, but they were telling me they were so embarrassed, my father and my three brothers, because some of the Phillies fans actually broke like the sliding glass doors. They caused all kinds of damage and vandalism. I mean, they really behaved like animals, and I thought, you know, this is really embarrassing.
That's called championship frustration. They're backed up. They haven't had a chance to enjoy. See, that's the problem, you know. It's funny though, because like I'm a Giants fan, and I went down to Miami in 1993. And I've had season tickets for 30 years, and you can't get season tickets for the Giants. I mean, now you can with this PSL. But we go down to Florida, and I was amazed that, like, when you go into the stadium, you know, like they have like different carnival games, throw the ball to the receiver through the tire and win a prize, and kick the field goal and win a prize. And I remember I came back, and we were covering the Eagles at the time. You know, so I told one of the Eagles, I said, this is so cool, man. You know, like, you got to see it when you go down there. You know, they got like a carnival in the parking lot. He goes, yeah, we got the same thing at the vet. You can get murdered in lot B. You can get raped in lot C. Have you carjacked in lot D. Well, anyway, it's the same thing. What's the big deal? But they really don't. I mean, maybe it's changed now. But I remember, like, sitting in the stands, and the Giant fans, like, we packed the stadium because all the retired people and everything. But then, you know, it's like, Dolphins, tickets are available for the Patriots next week. And I'm like, you're kidding me. How could an NFL game have available tickets?
Isn't that the truth? I know. Well, you know, it's true with the Marlins, too, Steve. I mean, I'm amazed. I mean, the Phillies, it's always standing room only every game, pretty much.
What is it, 94 straight sellouts for the vet? I mean, for the Citizens Bank Park.
It's incredible. I mean, you know, one thing I'll give the fans in Philly and in New York too. I mean, they're loyal and they show up and they support their teams. It's really a shame.
And they freeze.
Because I went to see,
And they freeze.
And they freeze. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Let me tell you, I was here. I'll bring up one great moment in Philly sports history. I was at the NFC Championship game in 1981 when the Eagles defeated the Cowboys 20-7.
Cool.
And I was there.
You're a little baby
at
the time, huh?
I was, well, not quite a baby, but I was a lot younger then. No, I was about 12 or 13, I guess. And I was there with my sister and brother. And, I mean, that is the coldest that I have ever been in my entire life. I mean, it was, with the wind chill, it was probably 40 below at least. I mean, the wind was whipping around, and we didn't care. We were so excited, you know, and just, you know, and I think maybe we could bond over a shared dislike of the Dallas Cowboys here anyway, another division rival.
You know what's
rival.
Funny? Did you watch the Eagles movie, Invincible?
Oh, I love that movie. I mean,
right?
It's not that it was such a great movie, but it was just fun, yeah.
You know, isn't it unfair? You know, they're making a sequel to that. It's called Invisible, about the defense. but don't you find it really, like, tacky that the Cowboys had to go out and do their own movie, Brokeback Mountain?
Yeah, you know, that was. That was, now that you mention it.
Right. You know, like, isn't bad when the Eagles do a movie? Well, the Cowboys got to do a movie, too. Here's Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, God. That's too funny. Yeah, it's funny you bring that up because I actually am friends with I met a woman actually through social media and Blog Talk Radio. I've actually interviewed her, Cindy Papali, Vince Papali's cousin. And she's an awesome. Yeah, she's a wonderful woman. She's a breast cancer survivor. She's written a book, and I'm actually kind of working with her on a project that she's doing. But
cool.
Yeah, it's really kind of interesting, a little interesting connection. I never thought, you know, living in South Florida, you know, you just kind of never know who's. It's the 6 degrees of separation thing. But one thing I got to say that I thought from a director's standpoint in the film was very interesting was when, you know, the scene where they're, you know, it's his first NFL game and they're playing the Cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And he screws up and Vermeil grabs him by the collar and he's like, you know, you better straighten up or you're, you know, you're going to be on the bench. And
uh-huh.
how they show him sitting on the bench and then the camera kind of pulls away and he just looks so small. And it's kind of like, I thought that was kind of cool how they portrayed what he was feeling.
Well, the real Vince Papale is 6'4". And he's a nice guy. I mean, like, I actually do know him because we worked in the same building for a long time. And I used to run into him in the elevator all the time. You know how the movie came about, right? The movie came about because NFL Films did a piece. Ray Dittinger was a writer for the Philadelphia Daily News and an author.
Mm-hmm.
And he had coined the phrase invincible. And he worked for NFL Films. So what they did was they did a piece on Vince Papale, basically, you know, because the story of Vince Papale was, the Eagles had an open tryout. Vince walked onto the field, you know, he was a bartender, and he walked out onto the field, and he ends up making the team. So they did this little segment called Invincible. And as it turns out, one of the people who watched NFL Films that day happened to be a Disney executive, and he gets the idea to turn it into a movie. So suddenly Vince is a hero. Vince is a star. But Vince is 6'4". Mark Wahlberg, who played him, is like 5'3". They had to go hire a bunch of midgets to put on Eagle uniforms, just like the real team. And there they are, right on the field, because he had to be bigger than everybody.
Isn't that funny? Yeah, I had heard that, and that was kind of interesting. I think Wahlberg did a really great job, though, with the character.
He did. I like Wahlberg. And Kinnear was in it as Dick Vermeil. Yeah, it really was a good movie. In reality, though, you know the final play where he scores the touchdown?
Mm-hmm.
In reality, in the actual game, that got called back for the penalty.
Did it really?
Called back. I'll tell you a funny story about the Giants and the Eagles, though. Do you remember the miracle of the Meadowlands, the fumble?
Yes. Oh, yes, very much.
Joe Pisarcik, right, to set the stage. The Giants are playing the Eagles. The Giants have a 17-12 lead. They are going – all they have to do at the end of the game, they get the ball back. If they run three plays, fall on the ball, the game is over, right? So what happens is on first down, Joe Pisarcik, the quarterback of the Giants, goes up to the line of scrimmage, and Frank Lemaster, the Eagle linebacker, flies – they fall on the ball. But Lemaster flies over the pile, and he hits Pisarcik. Now the Giants are upset. And they call a play in the huddle. Say, So what happened was the offensive coordinator called a play, and he sent the play into the game. Now, the Giants are like, we don't want to run this. We just fall on the ball. This is ridiculous. You know, they're telling the quarterback, you know, don't run it, Joe, don't run it. But Pisarcik had gotten in trouble the week before for ignoring one of his plays. So Pisarcik's like, no, we're going to run it. So they walk up to the line of scrimmage. Now, the center on the Giants is a guy named Jim Clack. The defensive tackle on the Eagles is a guy named Happy Hairston, I think his name was, or Dennis Hairston, one of the two. And he says, are you guys going to fall on the ball? And Clack goes, no, we're going to run a play. And he goes, really? So now they set up, right? Pisarcik takes a snap. He does a 360-degree turn and shoves the ball into Larry Zonka's hip. The ball fumble, you know, rolls on the ground. Herman Edwards picks it up. And there's the famous touchdown, right? Now, that night, Eagles go on and win the game. I was at the game. Eagles go on and win the game, 19-12. It catapults them into the playoffs, right?
Okay.
Now, that night, 40,000 people committed suicide, mass suicide in Guyana drinking the Kool-Aid. Remember that?
Yes.
How many of them bet the Giants and gave the points?
You know, it's so funny. I never realized those two events happened on the same day. That's so funny.
Oh, I did, because as soon as I saw it on the news, I went to my refrigerator and poured a cup of Kool-Aid. It didn't work.
You know, I still can hear, you know, I used to watch those old John Facenda films with my brothers, and I could still...
Oh, yeah, the voice of God.
Pertaining to this game. Yeah, and I could still hear him going, the Eagles, Dick Vermeil's team needed a miracle. And then, you know, mm-hmm. it's so funny how I remember that. I just remember jumping up and down with my brothers and my dad and my mom, who's a big football nut too.
Yeah, I remember screaming. Not jumping up and down.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
I remember crying.
Do you remember Randall Cunningham's 90-yard punt in the Meadowlands? I was at that game.
Yeah, me
in
too.
In the Meadowlands.
Me too. Yeah, you punted it right to me. Lucky
now,
me.
You know, I think it's that. I think really that was the coldest I've ever been in my life, because I think that game was actually colder than the NFC Championship game in 1981.
Oh, God.
I just remember the wind kind of, we were like in a, just whipping around that corner, and I looked at my sister and I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I could stand this. We spent the third quarter, I think, in here. You know. But it was a lot of fun. It really was. I had the best time. I mean, it was just, here we were. And I got to tell you this, because you'll appreciate it. I mean, you know, these scrappy Northeastern kind of teams. But on the way up, my brother Mark, who's the oldest in our family, we're driving up there. And I don't even know how somehow we ended up with tickets, a friend of his through work or something. And we're driving up, and he's lecturing my sister and me, and he's going, I don't care if the Eagles score a touchdown. I don't care if the Giants get a penalty. I don't care what. Since you sit in your seat and you be quiet. There's one of me, 2,000 Yorkers. And, oh, my God, Steve, it was so funny. And, of course, we just couldn't help ourselves. You just naturally, you're so into it. And every time I would jump up when something happened, I could feel my brother pulling me back down in my seat by the hood because I had a parka with him.
That's great stuff.
Funny. Oh my God, it was so much fun. I mean, and really, it was pretty good natured. I mean, yeah, there was some ribbing going on back and forth, but I really had a great time. The one thing I did not enjoy was being in the parking lot an hour and a half just trying to get across the street after the game was over. But
see, now they've made it easier too, because you got all those access roads and everything. You know, you got different ways to get out of there now. Have you been to Lincoln Financial Field?
No, I have not. Not yet. I would love to.
I'm in no rush to get there. In fact, I even got rid of the PSLs at the new stadium. I gave up my tickets because they wanted $23,000 for one season to go to see Giant games. I said, nah, I think I'm going to sit home by big screen TV and not go.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Well, you know, that's really, I mean, even before Lincoln Financial Field was built, I mean, my parents gave up the tickets because they were even getting way too expensive years ago. And, you know, and I don't know how, like, you know, that stadium sells out every week. And I remember, you know, all those years at the Vet, I mean, every week it was packed, whether they were winning, losing, good season, bad season. And I used to think, some of these people must be spending their entire paycheck on just Eagles games, because it's not a cheap proposition. And then when you factor in all the beer and everything else and food and it's tough. I mean, I don't know how these people with families, how they do it.
No, it's, you know, well, you know what you got to do. Like I said, once it gets to be too much, then you're like, you know what, I'm just going to buy a big screen TV and we sit home. I'm going to have my home theater. I mean, seriously, they wanted, from my seats, $7,500 apiece for the personal seat licenses, and they were upping the game tickets to $400 apiece. That's $23,000 for 1 year of Giants football. I should have Eli Manning come to my house and throw me passes for $23,000.
Exactly.
Yeah, and even then I wouldn't make the deal, because I'd have to pick them up off the ground. That would be no good. It would be horrible.
It's crazy. But but what are your thoughts on, I personally, as an Eagles fan, I was really happy to see McNabb go. I felt like, not so much from a, I think being a quarterback is a lot more than just being able to play the game and being talented, you know, physically. I think you have to be a leader and you have to be mentally in the game. And I wasn't seeing that in him in the last several years. So I was kind of like, you know, I think the guy's unhappy here, and it's rubbing off on the rest of the team. And it's just not a good, there's just not a good energy between them anymore. So I was kind of glad to see him go. I mean, yes, he's a great quarterback, but I just felt like he wasn't a leader in the sense that, you know, others have been, you know, other great quarterbacks have been leaders. So what are your thoughts?
Well, you know
on
what?
That?
He did his best. I mean, the thing with McNabb is, I don't know why, he gets a bad rap because he's got a personality. Philadelphia is a very frustrated city, and they're so focused on the championships that when they don't win them, you know, year after year after year, you've got to blame somebody. But I think the thing with McNabb is, you know, he had personality. I mean, they never really hit it off from the beginning, and it really wasn't going to get any better. So it was time to move. But let's not forget that the guy went to five NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. So it wasn't like you were the Detroit Lions for 10 years.
That's true. Yes.
You did have the good times, and there's no guarantees that Kevin Cobb's going to the promised land. And I'm surprised that, you know, if I'm the Washington Redskins, I got to be real leery that my division rival wants to give me a quarterback.
Well, that's true. And I'll tell you one thing. I really kind of wish that he had gone to anywhere but a division rival. You know,
yeah,
you just never know.
That's what I mean. It is kind of odd, you know.
Yeah.
But listen, I got to go now because I got to get ready for my other radio show when I get down tonight. And you going to call in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Alrighty. I will call in, and I can listen on the internet, correct?
Absolutely. 610WIP.com.
Sounds great. Well, Steve, thanks for joining me. Really
appreciate
it.
Oh, my pleasure. And we'll do it again.
Okay, sounds good. Take care.
Good luck, Daria. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, folks, that was Steve Trevolisi of WIP. And I see that my co-host, Steve Rosenblum, is still in the chat room with me. So I encourage anyone, if you are a Giants fan or a Philly sports fan, or even if you're not, to check him out. I think Steve's pretty funny, Steve Trevolisi. He also has the comedian, and he spends his nights performing stand-up comedy at Catch a Rising Star in the Princeton Hyatt, where he is not only house MC, but now general manager. So pretty cool. He's a really funny guy. And I want to thank my friend Don Smith for actually connecting me with Steve Trevolisi and making it possible to have him on my show tonight. It was really fun. So moving into a different topic, I guess, I want to move into a little bit of things more political for the last second half of the show here. And I want to start by kind of letting people know where some of the projects I have going on, because there's one that I'm really excited about. I have several things going on, but one that I'm most excited about right now is a project called 365 Days of Liberty. And for those of you who know Kevin Price from Facebook, he's the host of The Price of Business, which is now on CBS Radio. He's just a great guy, very talented, very accomplished. Made his acquaintance on Facebook, I guess, going on 2 years now. And I've been a guest on his AM show out of Houston several times to talk about the Tea Party movement, politics. He brought me on one time to talk about my book, Water Signs, A Story of Love and Renewal. And so we got to be good friends. And Kevin approached me probably about 6 months ago and said, you know, I have this idea. I think this is really needed in our culture. And anyone who's just active politically and has been out there just speaking with people that you bump into on the street can attest that, unfortunately, the dumbing down of America has taken place in our schools. There has been a lot of indoctrination. While conservatives were busy working and raising families and living normal lives, the left for the past 40 to 50 years has been busy, indoctrinating students and taking over education and pop culture and the media to the point where, you know, people don't even know how our government works. They don't even know what the three branches of government are, what Congress does, what the president does, what the Constitution limits the federal government versus the states. And so Kevin had this concept for a book that would be a devotional type of book, in the sense of, if you've ever seen a Christian devotional where it's, you know, you open up to a particular day, each day you open, you know, to a page, and there's a topic and a thought for the day or a person and kind of like a one or two paragraph entry that you read. And so we're sort of following that template for 365 Days of Liberty, but focusing on America and why this is an exceptional country, what makes America different from any other country in the history of the world, more about our founders, about our founding documents, important dates in history. And we're putting this all together in a way that's also entertaining and that will sort of encourage and inspire people to want to learn more. So I have a fabulous team of writers that I'm working with. Don Smith is one, Stephanie Janicek, Joan Schaefer-Poach, Diane Student, Roxana Trinka, Brooke Musterman, just all of these people. Andrew Ian Dodge is going to be joining our team from Pajamas Media, Susan Clark, my friend Chris Aravello. And I'm just so proud of my team of writers, because they're working really hard, and I am acting as editor and project manager for the book, and I get to read all these fabulous, wonderful essays And I'll tell you, it's amazing how much I'm learning, because even though I thought growing up, I went to Catholic school and I felt like I got a good education, and I felt like for the most part my teachers were pretty fair, my history teachers. And even a few of them were actually quite good and very excited about American history. There's still so much that I'm learning just from reading these entries, and it's been a great experience. So we are looking forward to completing this and book and having it ready for release by Thanksgiving or Christmas at the very latest. And it's going to be called 365 Days of Liberty. So my Liberty team writers, hopefully I remembered everyone, but thank you all for your contributions. And Sabrina Styling is another writer that's on the team. You know, thank you all for your contributions. And I think in a future upcoming broadcast, I will definitely bring some of my team members on, and we can share a little bit more about that with the audience. So it's pretty exciting stuff, so I'm really looking forward to it. Also, for anyone who doesn't know, I am the author of Water Signs, The Story of Love and Renewal, and that is available in paperback, Kindle, and PDF. You can find it at Amazon.com, as well as my website, watersignsnovel.com. And for more insights into the book and more information about me and politics and my pop culture and political commentary, you can visit my blog at dariaann.wordpress.com, where I sort of have everything I do encapsulated in one place. So the most recent thing I've done for Parkbench, which is another site that Steve and I write for, that's Parkbench with a C, parkbench.com, is an interview with Ashley Sewell of Smart Girl Politics. And any ladies, if you're listening out there, and guys, if you're unfamiliar with Smart Girl Politics, definitely check it out. I will put up a link in the chat room, but it's smartgirlpolitics.ning.com. And it's this wonderful site that started out with 7 members and has now grown to 40,000 members. It was started by Stacey Mott and Terry Kristoff, and it's just become such a powerful, positive force for real change, good change in America. And the goal, as Ashley told me when I interviewed her, was for Smart Girl Politics to get women out, and men, smart guys too, out from behind the computer screens and into their communities. And their focus is, you know, taking our country back one community at a time, one community, one state at a time. And so to that end, they have regional coordinators. And Ashley is the Southwest Regional Coordinator. She's from Texas. And they have regional coordinators all over the country. And she told me that by far their Arizona group is the most active. I remember several months ago on Michelle Malkin's website, she featured a story about the Arizona chapter of Smart Girl Politics and the border cleanup that they actually did along the Arizona border. And it's just amazing to me what dedicated, passionate, determined Americans can do when they set their minds to it. And here were these women, you know, making a real positive difference. And I'll tell you something, those pictures, I mean, if you haven't seen the story, go to michellemalkin.com, maybe do a search on her site to pull it up. It was Smart Girl Politics Arizona Border Cleanup, because those pictures are very telling as to just how bad the border is and just the just how dedicated these women were to cleaning it up. I mean, to put that effort together was just an amazing thing, and I'm really proud of that organization. I'm very excited that they're in existence, and they will be having their second Smart Girl Summit in Washington, D.C. I believe it's September 30th and October 1st of this year, and Liz Cheney will be joining them again this year. She was also a speaker at last year's summit, and along with Michelle Malkin. And I know that this year Liz Cheney will be joining them again, as well as Tammy Bruce and Essie Cupp, whom Steve and I have interviewed on Conservative Republican Forum. So I will put up a link in the chat room, smartgirlsummit.com, and that's where you can find information on the event. And if you want to check out the blog and join Smart Girl Politics, it's smartgirlpolitics.ning.com. And I encourage anyone to check it out. And I'll tell you, Ashley is 26 years old, and if there are many more women, young women like her out there, then we definitely are going to get our country back, because she was just such a bright light, very intelligent, funny, outgoing, just a very motivated young woman, and it was really my pleasure to talk with her. And I'm hoping that through this park bench piece, we can help them get more exposure and really, really make a difference in turning things around. So thank you to Ashley. And, you know, thank you to parkbench.com, too. That's another social media success story. I met Kellen Guida, who is the founder, along with Brett Jospy, probably going on 2 years ago now on Facebook. And I was blogging. I've been blogging for the past several years and, you know, doing various writing projects. I've done all kinds of things, from writing e-proposals for hotels and writing content, all kinds of web content. I've done, you know, book catalogs. I was a copywriter for a textbook company. So I've done all kinds of writing, but really my passion is politics. And as I said, I grew up in a very traditional home. Both of my parents were always conservative. My mom was just, you know, Mama Liberty Bell was, you know, definitely my role model, because she was always involved as a committee woman in the Republican Party, but always a conservative. And so from the time I was a little girl, I've been around elections, you know, holding up signs and just kind of been around it. And my parents used to have township meetings and various things going on at our house. We used to have wine and cheeses for different local candidates. So that's been a part of my life for a long time. I know that that's not everybody's experience, but I'm really glad that it was mine, and it definitely rubbed off on me. So my passion as far as writing really is in creating, aside from novels, I really do have a passion for writing commentary, but I believe that politics and pop culture are definitely intertwined. And so when I met Kellen on Facebook, it was just very exciting to me that Park Bench came along, that he was creating Park Bench as sort of like a right-leaning pop culture site to kind of counterbalance just the left-leaning sites that we see and just the left-leaning Hollywood. And I know, you know, through Andrew Breitbart and Big Hollywood, we're learning every day about more and more conservatives who are coming out of the closet in Hollywood. A lot more entertainers now are vocal about their beliefs. And I'm happy to see that. It makes me very sad that in America that there was ever a time that you know, people had a fear, real damage to their careers if they were to come out and say, yes, I'm a conservative, I believe in the Constitution, I love my country, I'm patriotic, I support the military. I mean, how tragic is that, that it was even a consideration for so many people, that they, you know, to keep that part of themselves hidden so that they wouldn't jeopardize their chances of getting a role in a film. And I know that that's still going on, probably to a large degree. But I am gratified to see so many of them coming out now and being more vocal and taking part in Big Hollywood. And like I said, with Park Bench, I'm just really proud of what they've been able to accomplish and what they're doing, because it's really reaching out to that younger demographic and letting them know that, hey, you know what, we're conservatives and we like to be entertained just as much as anybody else. We're funny. You know, we like a compelling romance novel. We like good movies. We want to be entertained. But we also love our country, and we also believe in limited government and a strong national defense and everything that has made America a great country. So I'm really proud to be associated with them, and I encourage anyone listening to please check that out at Parkbench, parkbench.com. And they have I write for and Steve writes for The Bench, which tends to be the political commentary on the site. And then they have a feature called The Dish, which really deal more specifically with pop culture, sports, whatever's going on with Hollywood, including, you know, train wrecks like Lindsay Lohan, but everything from a, you know, conservative perspective. So definitely check that out. And I just want to thank everyone for listening tonight. It's been kind of fun. I mean, here I am on my own, but the fun part about this is that I get to say whatever I want. And as Steve and I discussed on our show a couple weeks ago, we're not up against any hard breaks. We can talk as long as we want and bring guests on for as long as we choose. And I'll tell you what, as fun as it was at WAFS, I got to say it's kind of nice not to have to dress up and make sure my makeup is perfect and my hair, because I'm just on audio now. And that sort of takes a lot of pressure off of me. But I really do, I do miss being there. I miss the video aspect of it. It was kind of, it was very good. It was a good training experience, a good learning experience. I appreciate John giving me the opportunity really to do the show, and it kind of got me into a regular routine. And I feel like I've been able to create a brand around Liberty Bell. And so now I'll be here on Blog Talk Radio, and we'll see how this goes. And hopefully over time, I'll build up my listenership to the point where I can get back to a 7 p.m. time slot. Although I'm actually enjoying this. This is working for me at 6. So hopefully it'll work for my listeners, but well, we'll see how it goes. But again, I mean, with the internet, I can't stress it enough. We now have a forum in the new media to be able to reach out and talk and communicate our ideas and express our conservative points of view, and without the filter, without the media filter. And I mean, look at what Sarah Palin has been able to do with Facebook. She, by the way, lover or hater, and I happen to love her. I don't. That doesn't mean I think everything she does is perfect, but I admire her. I admire her. She's gutsy. She's accomplished. She's taken so many hits unfairly, in my opinion, and has just, she just keeps coming back stronger than ever. They keep throwing stuff at her, and she just gets stronger. And I really admire that strength of character and that strength of will and her leadership. And she's really leveraged Facebook to get her message out there and to really speak directly to the American people. I kind of imagine, you know, Ronald Reagan, he used to do that with the traditional media. Back in the day, which was fabulous, but I can imagine what he could have done if he had social media to work with, and Facebook and Twitter. I mean, it would have been even that much more powerful. So, you know, if you're not on any of these sites, and I understand there's a lot of people who are afraid, they fear identity theft, they fear trolls, and trust me, I've gone up against my share of trolls, especially as Steve will tell you, the Ron Paul truther freaks. I'm not afraid to take them on, but you know what? Overwhelmingly, it's been a positive experience. And if you love your country and you're really concerned about what's going on, you got to be willing to put yourself out there and do whatever it is that you can do. I also recently became, thanks to Steve and my good friend Jessica, a member of the Palm Beach County Republican Executive Committee. And it wasn't because I didn't have enough to do already, trust me, but I just really felt that, you know, it's one thing to talk about what's going on and to share information, and that's all very important. But if we really want to make a difference, we've got to do more. And so part of the role as a committee woman in my precinct is to call Republicans, make sure they're voting, precinct walk, make sure people are aware of elections, aware of the candidates, they know what's going on, and that they're going to get out there and vote. Because, ladies and gentlemen, that's really where we have our power. That's the ballot box. And Steve is actually running for State House in District 89 here in Florida. And I want to encourage you to check out his website, which is electrosenbloom.com. And Steve, let me just put it up there in the chat room. Steve, in addition to several other candidates, spoke last night at our meeting, and it was just really great. I mean, I really love seeing grassroots people kind of stepping up to the plate and being willing to put themselves on the line, because running for office is not easy. And, you know, people have asked me about that, and I've said, you know what, I just don't think I could put myself through it. I honestly, with some of the disgusting tactics I've seen, not just on the left, but unfortunately with people who claim to be conservative and who claim to care about their country, I've seen just the worst mudslinging here locally and on the national scene. And I just, my hat's off to anyone who is able to withstand that, because their passion for doing the right thing is so much stronger. So, Steve, kudos to you. And I'm really, you know, I'm behind you all the way. I'm supporting several candidates here in South Florida. Very excited that I get to vote for Alan West, Colonel Alan West, in our primary coming up on August 24th and in November. I live in Florida District 22. And so if anyone listening lives in that district, I encourage you to please vote for Alan and get out there. You know, we do have a lot of excellent candidates, Marco Rubio among them, and Bernard Sansarik, and Robert Lowry, and just, you know, so many good people who are really stepping up and doing the right thing and really wanting to get this country back to common sense conservative principles. And as Steve has mentioned in a column not too long ago, state races are just as important, if not maybe even more important than the congressional and Senate races, because, we need to get common sense conservatives at the state level who will stand up for states' rights and who will tell the federal government, you know what, you need to get back in your place and you need to start obeying and observing the Constitution. So I encourage you to please check out Steve's website. No matter where you live in Florida, or anywhere in the country for that matter, any state, get involved, find out who your candidates are, know what they stand for, know what they're about, make your choices, and not just vote for them, but, do something meaningful, precinct walk, make phone calls. If you can donate money, even if it's $5, $10, everything adds up, but do whatever you can, because it's not enough to just say, oh, we don't like what the Obama administration is doing, and, we reject socialism. We all have to, as Ed Lynch says, get some skin in the game here. So I encourage everyone to please, get involved and get out there. Check out Smart Girl Politics. Check out some of these sites, parkbench.com. Make sure that you're informed. Listen to talk radio. Check out sites like Hot Air and Michelle Malkin, and do not rely just on cable news. Fox is great. Love Fox. But make sure that you're getting your information from a variety of sources and do your homework. And we have the internet now, and it's very easy to get the information you need to make a good decision at the ballot box. And, we're what about, I guess a little less than 3 months away from what I think is the most critical election in my lifetime. We really need to take back Congress. We have got to get common sense conservatives into the majority and start undoing some of the serious damage that's been inflicted upon the country by this administration, by Obama and Pelosi and Reid. So I believe in my heart that we will do that. I know that we have to, because let's face it, if we don't win big in November, I don't really think 2012 is going to matter all that much. So everyone, please get out there and do what you can do. Find out about your candidates. And even, locally, like school board level, make sure you're doing your homework and get out there and support good people, because this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And as people often say, we get the government we deserve. So let's make sure that we deserve the best by getting involved. So with that said, I just want to remind you again to please check out my blog, dariaann.wordpress.com, where you can find some information on my book, my forthcoming sequel, Sea to Shining Sea, which I'm hoping I'll still be able to get out before the end of the year. I have a couple of other assignments that have come up, including the 365 Days of Liberty and a potential ghostwriting project and some other things that are kind of getting in my way a little bit. But I'm going to do my best to get it finished by Christmas time. But if you go to my blog, you can learn about the writing process. I have some advice for aspiring writers and sort of like the backstory behind Water Signs, all of my political commentary and my cultural commentary, and information on not just the Liberty Bell Hour, but my show with Steve called Conservative Republican Forum. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my inaugural broadcast this evening. Hope it was good, and I promise that I will improve over time, and it wasn't too bad multitasking. So I think that this could be a lot of fun as we go along. And next week at 6 p.m., my guest will be the multi-talented Ava Aston of We the People fame. And if you haven't heard of Ava, I definitely encourage you to go to her website, which is avaaston.com, and check out all of her great music. I wrote a review of her CD, which is posted on my blog at dariaann.wordpress.com. Ava's got a wonderful CD called Gone, but she also wrote a song last year called We the People, which is a tribute to the Tea Party movement, to our founders, to America, and to the United States military. And it's just a wonderful song and a wonderful video tribute. And I actually have a story with this, too. I met Ava through a mutual Facebook friend. And because I had been at the March on Washington, D.C. last year, which was fabulous, and I'm so thankful that I was able to be there, and there were easily over a million people there, but I was able to get some video of that and assist Ava in creating the video to go with her song, We the People. And so it's a lot of fun. A lot of my South Florida friends are in it. So please check out her website and listen to Ava next week. I will be bringing her on for a great interview, and maybe we'll even get her to sing a song for us. But in the meantime, I'm going to end with Ava Aspen's song, We the People, wishing you all a wonderful week. And check back with me. Check back here next Thursday night at 6 p.m. when Freedom will be ringing once again and on the Liberty Bell Hour on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week.
This country's out.